The scripture for today is first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. Ready for you? You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet worldwide, GCN viewing audiences, this is the 39th session on the lectures on 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." Here, the little children here refers to the children of God who have received the Holy Spirit. It is those who have become God's children by believing that Jesus was crucified to save us. After one accepts the Lord and has received the Holy Spirit, he has to follow the truth by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Those who live according to the truth, namely the Word of God, are the ones who are of God. The Bible always explains that those who are living by the Word of God are the ones who are of God. Knowing this, how can I, when I love you and love God, how can I not mourn? How can I not weep? Of course, maybe you say you attend church, you give tithes, and you keep the Sunday holy, but your hearts are in the world and you are committing the sins leading to death. And how, knowing those things, how can I not mourn? How can I not weep? Knowing that you were falling into hell. Do not think you can be saved just by attending church. The Bible clearly teaches us, both in the Old and New Testaments. If you love God, you will keep His commandments. And so there are sins leading to death and sins depriving of salvation that are recorded in the Bible, and judgment will be carried out exactly according to what is written on the Bible, in the Bible. And even the children of Moses, they couldn't be excused. Nobody can be excused. There's no exception. If you violate the words of God, not live by the word of God, you're not going to be saved. But of course, if you violate some of the words of God, all of you will be falling into hell. So there are sins leading to death. So if you commit sins leading to death, you will not be saved. And also, there are different dwelling places in the heavenly kingdom, and God pays us back according to what we have done on this earth. We reap what we sow, and the judgment will be carried out according to our deeds. What kind of deeds do you have, sir? Because this is the end time, if you have money, it's good to live in a comfortable life. You can lead a comfortable life. But there are so many temptations. But you cut off all those temptations and keep yourself from all the temptations. Students, they keep the duties of students, and the elders and the Levites and the pastors, they keep their duties as elders, Levites, and pastors. You pray hard. You live by the word of God and diligently pray. So definitely you will be saved and go to a better, good dwelling place in heaven, and you will receive a lot of rewards in heaven. And because those who struggle against sins to the point of shedding blood, they will pass through the pearl gates and enter into the city of New Jerusalem. And if you think of those moments, if you have hope for the future. You'll be so happy. So think about these things once again, and even from now, please turn from the things that you have to turn from. If there are anything that you have to turn from, make up your mind that you want to go to New Jerusalem with your shepherd. I hope you will have a determination once again. I know so well how good and beautiful heavenly kingdom is. I know so well about, so very well about the pains of hell. Since 1982, God began to show me about, show me hell. And since 1984, God began to show me about heaven. Suppose if you, so I even tasted the fruit of heaven. I even smelled the smell of flower of heaven. Whenever God was giving me this revelation about heaven, when He was explaining about the fruit of life, God gave me, let me feel the actual taste of this fruit. So I can never forget the actual taste of the fruit of life in heaven. I will never be able to forget until I go to heaven. Of course, it tastes very good. And because it's something spiritual, I can never forget it. It's the same with the scent of the flowers. You know, each flower has different color and different scent, different fragrance. And these fragrances give us happiness and joy. And also they have beautiful colors, various beautiful colors. And also their petals are big. We have such good heaven and New Jerusalem, and also there is hell. Because as if I had been there myself, I know so very well. But that's why I can teach you. It's not something like, oh, there's heaven, it's good. Heaven is really, really good, and it gives you happiness, eternal happiness. And so even now I think hard about how we will share love, how we will have banquets and parties, how we will invite each other, so that how I can deliver to you more vividly. You know, how I will deliver these things to you more vividly, more clearly. That's what I pray for. So in small group meetings, I'll explain about all these things to let you feel. And you can taste the taste of heaven. So many beautiful birds and animals playing around. And I pray about the ways to more clearly explain these things to you. Then God gives me wisdom and inspiration. But those who are on the other side, I can never forget their screaming. Their screaming is like, their pain is so loud, and you know, the voices of those people are still ringing in my ears. Such wretched voices. You know, if I can imitate those voices, I can. But you'll be so surprised. So I'm not going to. If you can let me, maybe I will try to imitate. See, you know, not everybody wants it. Actually, it's not the. It's coming from deep inside. And it is like tearing the sky, in a continual screaming from here and there from so many people. Even though they are not yet completely sanctified, we can say they still are of God as long as they try to live by the word of God and walk in the truth. To practice the truth with faith, we have to overcome the world. To overcome the world has multiple meanings. Overcoming the world includes the following: to keep one's heart and not to follow the lust of the world, to keep the faith even in persecutions, and not to be deceived by the heretical theories. To overcome the world is to live in the truth, standing against the enemy devil and Satan that rule this world. When one has little faith, he might find it hard to partake in the spiritual warfare of faith. In the case of new believers, namely believers who are in the first level of faith, many of them lose against the worldly forces. A seminary student, Brother Woojin Chun, he explained about the different levels of faith. For example, when such sinful natures as envy, jealousy, hatred, anger, greed, and adulterous minds are agitated in them, they try not to commit sins, for they have heard the truth. While they struggle in their minds, sometimes they overcome, and at other times they submit to the temptations and commit sins. When they are having a hard time due to financial difficulty or diseases, they lose joy and thankful hearts and begin to complain and hold resentments. When there are persecutions for their life in Christ, they might compromise, being unable to overcome them. But as they reach the middle stage of the second level of faith, they gain the strength to win the battles. I've never really been persecuted for my faith. Because since I accepted the Lord, right from the beginning, I had firm faith. A few of my family members were believers, but they didn't really persecute me. They knew it wasn't going to work because I was so firm in my faith. God was always first in my life. And there were not really anything that could be called a persecutions. And that's why my family was evangelized very quickly. We have 6 brothers and sisters. All of them are, we have an elder, we have elders, two senior deaconesses, we have a pastor, and one deacon. Comparing it with boxing, in the first level of faith, one gets constantly punched because no skills have been acquired. And in the second level of faith, one is able to defend better and punch back blow for blow received. So you get a blow and you punch it back. So that is the second level of faith. The fight is the fiercest when the skills of the two fighters are almost the same. This spiritual battle is also the fiercest at this stage. Romans 7:24 says, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" And as written, one might find it difficult to go on in the march of faith. But as a person goes over into the third level of faith, he can fight with skills somewhat better than the opponent. So from this time, from this point, you feel more comfortable, easier in your Christian life, because you can mostly win. If one stands on the rock of faith in the third level of faith, he will win most of the time. That's why I'm telling you to be on the rock of faith quickly. Before you come into the rock of faith, you have fierce fights. But if you reach about 50 percentile of the third level, beginning with the first percentile, and to the 30th percentile, you still have fierce fights. But if you reach 40th and 50th percentile, you are close to the rock of faith, and you win most of the time. And after you go into the rock of faith, you hardly ever lose. So you can feel it is hard, it is happy and joyous to lead a life in Christ. But it doesn't mean one will only feel hardships at the first or the second level of faith. It is difficult to fight alone. But if there is a helper who is much stronger than the fighter can win even if his individual skills are not good enough. The hymnal Mighty Fortress has the following lyrics. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Those ask who that may be, Christ Jesus, it is He, Lord Sabaoth, His name. Even though we cannot do something with only man's power, we can still do it with the power of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, we can overcome any time with the help of the Holy Spirit sent from God. In other words, as long as we are full of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome the world all the time, even if our measure of faith is little. Also, there is help of God and the Lord, and as well as the help of the Holy Spirit. And as I read this testimony in the morning, you have your shepherd helping you. You know, you saw your shepherd in a dream. She was in a swamp. She couldn't get out of it. And I held her hands and got her out of there. And it was in a dream, but actually in spirit, it was actuality. That's why the enemy devil, Satan, left and her depression left and she was healed. She could overcome. So there is always help, even for the Gentiles. They don't know my faith, so even if I help them, they do not know. Of course, not just any random Gentiles, but those who will accept Jesus Christ and receive salvation. I have been helping these people like 10 years before they accept the Lord. Some of you have seen me in your dream before you came to this church. And after you saw my photo on a newspaper or after you came to this church, you realize, you remember that you've seen me in your dream. You can hear this kind of testimony from time to time. As written in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We can overcome all kinds of hardships and walk in the truth. Even those who had short temper before will not get angry if they accept the Lord and are full of the Spirit. Even in hardships, they overcome with prayers and praising, and they still give thanks and rejoice, even if they suffer persecutions or trials while preaching the gospel. They do not fight back or have ill feelings, but they understand others and respond with good word. Namely, they overcome the evil with goodness. Even though they are physically tired working in the world, they do not cease to pray and attend all the worship services. Even though they are new believers who are at the first or the second level of faith, as long as they keep on trying to become sanctified and pray ardently, they can keep the fullness of the Spirit. If you're full of the Spirit, you can overcome any kind of temptation of the world. So if you are being full of the Spirit all the time, as you seek the grace of God all the time, and with the grace of God, if you cast off sins one by one, you can go from the first level to the second level, and second level to the third level, and if you reach the rock of faith, and then you can control your mind and thoughts. So you will not fall, you will not stumble, you will not feel it is hard, and you can go straight into the Spirit. But even though one is at the third level of faith, if the amount of prayer is not enough, or if he is lazy in circumcising his heart, his spiritual growth will come to a halt. So with the word of God and prayer, you have to diligently keep on circumcising your heart. Then you should never, you must never stop. You must not stop prayers. You must not cease to pray. As much as you stop, as long as you stop, you kind of backslide in your faith. So you have to keep on marching on, just even little by little, without any rest, without any ceasing. Of course, it is better to run and march quickly. As one's faith experiences a stoppage, the fullness of spirit gradually goes away and the person begins to feel it is hard to lead a life in faith. Some parents, you say, you think you tried hard, but you are not on the rock of faith. You think you tried hard, but in my sight, you lack many things. Of course, on the outside, you try hard. But if you really try hard, you have a problem with your because of your children. Because you have a connection with your children. When the children commit sins leading to death, you cannot be exempt from the responsibility of your children. So there are many reasons. There are reasons. So if you know the word of God, word of truth very well, you can realize what the problem is. When full of the Spirit, he was just happy, even if he had worship services and did voluntary works all day. But when the fullness is gone, he might begin to think that it's a holiday and he wants to go home and early and enjoy himself. In the past, a couple of hours of nightly prayer meeting passed very quickly, but now he feels praying has become burdensome. He used to attend all the group or cell meetings, but as the grace of God diminishes, he starts not attending those meetings. In these occasions, some people give excuse, quoting Matthew 26:41, which says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." But this verse applies only to those who have not received the Holy Spirit yet. It was before the disciples received the Holy Spirit. So that is why Jesus said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The Lord Jesus was praying until his sweat became drops of like drops of blood. But the disciples couldn't help him with their prayers because they couldn't overcome their tiredness, drowsiness. So the man of flesh, they can give such excuses, but if you have received the Holy Spirit, you cannot give such excuses because you have the help of the Holy Spirit. But this verse applies only to those who have not received the Holy Spirit yet. At the night he was arrested, Jesus wanted his disciples to be awake and pray together with him, but they couldn't do it. Even Peter fell asleep while praying because his body was tired. He dozed off when he was tired because he had not received the Holy Spirit yet. And when his life was threatened, he even denied Jesus. Of course, it was a momentary thing. Soon he repented thoroughly. But after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, Peter received the Holy Spirit and he was a completely different person. The saying, "The spirit was willing, but the body is, spirit is willing, but the body is weak," did not apply to him anymore. He overcame his body and fulfilled whatever he wished in his heart. He performed with God's power and preached the gospel, even when people were trying to kill him. Even while the persecution of the Emperor Nero was at its peak, he went to Rome to spread the gospel, and eventually he was crucified upside down. As today's reading passage says, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." The power given by the Holy Spirit is much greater than the power of the darkness that the enemy devil and Satan have. Hebrews 11:38 says, man of whom the world was not worthy. Even though the world persecutes or tempts the believers, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit can overcome the world with joy, thanks, wisdom, and power. I hope you, beloved believers, will always be full of the Holy Spirit and overcome the world. Our Lord, our God, the Holy Spirit are helping us. So as we overcome, we will receive greater blessings. And as we overcome, God will not just leave us. He will definitely comfort us, give us comfort, consolation. Then it means blessing. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will finally pass through the Paul gates of New Jerusalem singing the song of victory. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the following verses 5 and 6 say, they are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. So those who are not obedient, it means you are not of God. If you belong to God, if it is the word of truth, the word of God, it is the word of the church, you will obey any word of God. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The previous verses, chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, also talks about discerning the spirits. It explains that the most important criterion in discerning between the spirit that is of God and that is of darkness is whether it confesses Jesus Christ. Right after the opening of the church in 1982, the seminary, I heard in the seminary that this pastor was heretical, that pastor was heretical. So when I prayed about those people, God said, they are not heretical. As long as they do not deny God the Trinity, they still accept Jesus Christ. They confess Jesus Christ, God the Creator, and they accept the Holy Spirit. So they believe and profess. And you cannot say that they are heretical. Of course, they might have a wrong idea about the truth. Some of them are doing some things in a wrong way, but it doesn't mean they are heretical. And so since then, when I received an answer from God, I never said the word heresy to any person, any pastor. Because we can say that word only when they deny God the Trinity. If you deny God the Trinity, obviously, we'll also deny the Bible. Only those who deny the Bible and God the Trinity, they are heretical. But otherwise, you cannot say anybody is heretical. Another criterion is whether one dwells in the truth, that is, the Word of God. Another criterion to discern whether one belongs to the light or the darkness, or God or the devil. So another criterion is whether one dwells in the truth, that is the word of God. If they do not live in the truth, they are of darkness. If they dwell in the truth, they are of the light. Today's reading passage elaborates on this. Explaining about the first, second, and third level of faith, you know, in the second level, it is the toughest stage, and if you have a helper, you can overcome more easily. But in my case, it didn't matter if anybody helped me or not. Since I accepted God, I never changed my mind. I never doubted God even 1%. And reading the Bible, I never doubted the Word of God even 1%. You know, Joshua stopping the sun and moon and parting the Red Sea, walking on the water, I never doubted anything. And I just lived by the Word of God. I prayed fervently. And so even though nobody was helping me or leading me, I just, as God gave me urging in my heart, I fasted and prayed. So until before the opening of the church, most of the time I was fasting. three-day fasting, 1 week, 15 days, 21 days. And most of the time I was fasting. I was fasting on my birthdays. I was fasting on national holidays. That is when God would especially make me fast. So I obeyed all God's urgings, and I went to the mountain to pray whenever I had time. So I went to all the prayer mountains, you know, almost all the prayer mountains around, in and around Seoul, with a blanket, piece of blanket, and the Bible and hymnal book. I had a little bit of pocket money. And except the Bible and hymnal book, I didn't carry any other book, because at that time I was packing some of the books written by some pastors. And God said, do not take any book from any person except the Bible and the hymnal book. Do not read any books. That's what God told me to do. Just read the Bible. Read the Word of God. And rely on the Word of God only. Do not rely on any book of the world. So that's, since then I have been obeying the Word of God. And since then I've never read any book. Of course, the books that I wrote, they are all the words of God, given by God Himself. Of course, I read the Romans of Three Kingdoms long ago, because I urged you to read the Romans of Three Kingdoms because it is helping you in some ways for you to go into spirit. So it is not wrong. And maybe Sejong the Great King, because you can learn what is evil and goodness and what is betrayal and what is faithfulness. So when we try to become men of spirit, we can understand these attributes. Some people, some betrayers, you know, you see the result, the consequences of the betrayers. And as you go into spirit, you can analyze each person's heart. If Zhuge Liang had some truth or untruths in their heart, you know, if you read, if you do not know the truth, some you will say, Kuan Yew, you just think he is a great man, but if you listen to, if you know the truth, you will see the untruth in his heart. You know, in China especially, they worship him as a god. But they might have a misunderstanding, but if you know the truth, you'll understand. Because it is right, according to the truth, to know he is a false. As God said, I didn't read any of the worldly books. Because it is the word of God, I will obey it until the Lord comes back. So sometimes they give me some worldly books. So I never read any of those books. So you do not have to give me any books. I do not even know all the words of God, of the Bible. And I only find the answers within, from within the Word of God and through the voice of the Holy Spirit. So I have always relied on God the Father, never on any books of the world. So as God said once, I keep His Word until the end. Today's reading passage elaborates on the criterion to discern between light and darkness. Namely, it says we can check what one speaks and what he hears to see where he belongs. It's because people speak and hear the words that are from the spiritual side thereon. Let me give you an allegory. Suppose you went on a business trip to another country and you do not speak their language at all. You are eating alone at a restaurant and many people around you are talking. No matter how much fun they are having in their conversation, you cannot listen to their conversation since you do not understand their words. But from a short distance, you hear somebody talking on the phone in your own language saying, "Hello, I am at the restaurant now." Then your ears will open wide. You'll probably feel comfortable hearing your own language, and you will almost automatically pay attention to the contents of the telephone conversation. That is because it is your own language which you understand. It is the same in a spiritual sense. If you are of the truth, your heart will be moved when others speak words of truth to you. You pay attention to the words of goodness and peace, and you find joy in them. You also speak words of goodness. On the contrary, those who are of the world speak words that are of untruth, which are of the world. Also, to the extent that they have untruths in them, they will not pay attention to the words of goodness, but only words of evil, and keep them in mind. Since I accepted the Lord, I've never paid attention to anybody talking about other people. Even when the workers are talking about other people, I've never paid attention. Unless they tell me personally, I never tried to listen to them. I never paid attention to other people talking. I don't have to try to find out other people's secrets. You know, it's all evil and untruth. It's not goodness. There's no reason to be curious unless they tell you. You don't have to be curious about other people's conversations. For example, a department head received a rebuke from the CEO and he feels bad. At that time, the employees in his department made a small mistake and he directed a temper tantrum at them. Later, those employees gathered among themselves and one of them said, "Why does our department head lose his temper and direct it at us just because he cannot say a word to the CEO? I can't put up with this anymore. He does it every time." You might have this kind of conversation in the world, in worldly companies. Then those employees who have hard feelings against their boss agree with him and begin to talk about all the uncomfortable events of the past too. If they love their department head, they will not agree with this kind of remark. And if they have goodness in their heart, they will not just directly agree. They will not speak ill of their boss. Do you understand? Now, another employee cautiously begins to say, "The boss got angry because he was under such great stress today. But he will feel sorry by tomorrow." Why don't we just understand him and support him? We all know how it is to work here in this company, and who will understand him if we don't? So who belongs to goodness, the former or the latter? The latter. Who belongs to the truth? The latter. The former. One is unbeliever and the other is mammy member. Then who is the mammy member? The latter. You got 100%. I think you understand the message very well. So who will understand him if we don't? Hearing the words of those two, you can already discern who has goodness in his heart. You can discern who is of darkness and who is of the light right away. So it's the same with you. When you make a friend or anything you do, you can discern how deeply you can have friendship. So if you agree with the words of the former and together you complain against your boss, if you agree with the words of the former and together you complain against your boss, it means you do not have goodness in your heart. Also, those people would not want to listen to the good words of the latter, and they might even dislike him for saying the good words. Because this person, latter, doesn't agree with what they say. Because he says only words of goodness. They dislike him. On the contrary, they would criticize him saying he just wants to flatter the boss or he acts like he's the only good person here. On the contrary, if you have goodness, you cannot agree with the words of the former employee. You'd rather feel embarrassed to be hearing such words. But when you hear the word of the latter, you feel his good heart and you feel comfortable listening to him. One's goodness or evil in his heart will be revealed by checking what kinds of words he speaks and listens to. People cheat others or get cheated by others because they have greed and falsehood in their hearts. Because they are living in the darkness, in untruth. Because they have greed, they will be cheated by others. If they are living in the truth, they can never be cheated by others. They can never be swindled. Those who have arrogance and boasting in their minds will easily be intrigued by the praising words of others and might be used for bad things. You know, to use them, you praise them, encourage them, and flatter them. And they are intrigued. Also, because they have lust in their mind, they like to talk about lustful and filthy things, and they pay attention when others are speaking such words. Because they have lust, they watch obscene materials, and they try to speak of these things. They try to hear those things, hear about those things, because they have lust in their minds. And they try to see those things. It is not only about hearing, but also spreading such words. Let me give you an example. Sometimes some people spread words of others in the following way. They say something like, a couple of days ago, Deacon Kim was saying that Deacon Lee is arrogant, he looks down on others, and he just boasts of himself all the time. Deacon Kim was saying about Deacon Lee, that Deacon Lee is arrogant. He looks down on others and he just boasts of himself all the time. Deacon Lee is doing this. I don't think Deacon Lee is actually like that. But maybe something happened between them, between Deacon Kim and Deacon Lee, and Deacon Kim doesn't like Deacon Lee. You deliver the words of others this way. He is saying that he does not have anything against Deacon Lee and he is just delivering the words of Deacon Kim. If, however, Deacon Lee is one of his family members or a very close friend, he wouldn't deliver such words to other people. If Deacon Lee is one of his family members, he wouldn't say those things about Deacon Lee. He delivers these words of Deacon Kim because Deacon Lee is not his family members or any of his family members or his close friend. In fact, he has shown the intention to reveal the shortcomings of Deacon Lee. And that is why he is gossiping about Deacon Lee, pretending it is somebody else's words. In the right after the opening of the church, when I was a non-ordained pastor, there were people who were criticizing my sermons. And, you know, some of them said my message was too long. And they were saying, oh, pastor, some people are saying your message is too long. But actually, it's them who do not like my sermon being long. If you like it, like the sermon to be long, then you don't have to say those things. You will just say, it is good. And I receive text messages saying that my messages are too short. And is it just flattery? You know, but, you know, they really mean it. They want their messages to be a little longer. So then I ask, you know, maybe the second part, praise and worship will be shortened. And so because you came down from the mountain after a long time, the church members like it more, prefer your messages to be longer. But I will not be just tempted by those words. But of course, it is important for the praise and worship is also important too. So that's why I have to make the proper allocations, allotment, allocate time properly in the first part and the second part. So sometimes I feel sorry because I can't do it properly. I feel sorry for the second part leader. But the leader also says it is better that I preach longer. But I have to allocate the timing fairly. But please be understanding about my long sermons. Because I can't just stop it. If it is my word, I can just stop talking. But it is by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and all the allegories, all the parables are so good, and I can't just cut them off. And I can't stop in the middle. And because also, each of my sermons have to be in one cassette tape, in one, so I can't stop in the middle. And God, Holy Spirit is giving me inspiration continually. So I cannot just stop at my will. So please be understanding about my long sermons. Can I just make it short? In the past, I couldn't keep the time. You know, in the Sunday morning service, you have to have lunch, eat the noodles, and have a meeting, and come back, and you're in a hurry. And also, even for the evening service, I wanted to stop earlier. And I kind of said to the Holy Spirit, to God, maybe you can give me less inspiration so that the church members, I said among the workers that maybe the Holy Spirit will give me less inspiration. And so church members will like it. And it hurt the feelings of God. And there was no inspiration whatsoever. For several weeks, I preached very short. You know, usually it is more than an hour, but I could preach only for 20, 30 minutes because God, Holy Spirit didn't give me any, no inspiration was given. And I was desperate. You know, I can preach only with the inspiration and I couldn't, you know, what is written in the note. It is only for 20 minutes. And I still had to preach for about an hour. And I was kind of feeling stuffy and desperate in my heart. And some church members were asking me, something happened? You know, is everything all right? You know, why? How come the messages are so short? It went on for several weeks. And since the opening of the church, it was the inspiration of God. All my messages were from God. And as if I was the one who was preaching, I said something so arrogant before God. So I repented before God and I asked God to give me inspiration once again. And right away, after a couple of weeks, God answered. God gave me the answer. It's because it's not that I disliked his inspiration. I didn't mean that way. It's just that, the church members, they kind of like my messages being shorter. So for that, I cannot stop or prolong it at my will. I try to stop where it is the most appropriate. You know, in case of lectures, I can just stop at the And if there is three verses to be done, I can stop after I finish two verses. But in other sermons, I can't just stop. Even though he's saying they are not his own words, those words themselves are revealing his hard feelings and evil in his mind. So if you talk with a certain person, you can feel how much goodness or how much evilness he has. Those who are in spirit, they can all feel just by the prayer. They can sense the evilness or goodness, or when you preach, you can feel the goodness of the sermons. So those who are in Holy Spirit, you cannot cheat them because they read your mind. They can hear and they can hear your words and they can have discernment, correct discernment. If you lie to those people, men of Holy Spirit, they all know whether you are cheating or whether you are telling a lie. But of course, they won't say, why are you telling a lie? That is why they are in the Holy Spirit. Those who are in the rock of faith, maybe they can say, why are you trying to tell me? And those who are in Holy Spirit, they can't say any piercing words to others. So they can't just say, why are you telling me a lie? They will just smile. These people are men of Holy Spirit. But they tell a lie and they think, I cheated him. I cheated her. They think these people are being cheated by them. But these men of Holy Spirit, they do not reveal all their emotions and they just listen to even lies. Brothers and sisters, those who are of the world and of the untruth cannot help but speak words that are outside of the truth. Luke 6:45 says, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." So the evil in his heart cannot help but come out, even though you try to contain, press, conceal your evil. You are speaking words of evil without realizing that it is words of evil. But those who do not have any evil in their heart, when they hear any evil words, they can sense it right away. Those who are full of lies, they tell a lie, but they do not know that they are telling a lie. But those who don't have any falsehood, when they listen, they feel right away. And if they say, "Why do you tell a lie?" Then these liars, they say, when did I tell a lie? I've never lied. Proverbs 15:2 also says, "The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly." Even if an evil person pretends to be speaking words of goodness, his evil will eventually be revealed. Also, those who are of the world listen to and agree to the words that are of the world. On the contrary, those who are of God and who seek the truth desire to speak and hear the words of truth. So they do not want to find out the secrets of other people, so they don't have any reason to deliver any words. They can't even know because they don't try to. They try not to listen, even if other people are speaking next to them. They don't listen to them. They don't listen to other people's conversations. That's what men of spirit do. They just close their ears and they do not listen. Even though I turn on the TVs, I just go to sleep with the TV with the volume loud volume, because that helps me get to sleep. Because if it is quiet, I only think of heaven. And I think of only spiritual things and the works of God, so I can't get to sleep. I can't get any sleep. So only when it's TV is so loud, I can't really listen to it. But when I hear some different things, my mind loses focus and I can get some sleep. Also, when a person is receiving some works of spirit, you can apply the same criterion to discern as to what kind of spirit it is. Namely, we can just check what he's speaking and hearing. The latter part, 1 John chapter 4, verse 6 also says, "By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The words of the Antichrist, which are the words of temptation, are the opposite of the works of the Holy Spirit. Those whose hearts are filled with the truth and who receive the clear works of the Holy Spirit will not accept the tempting words of the Antichrist." For example, it is the unchanging will of God both in the past and today that His children must live a holy and pure life without committing sins. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Philippians 2:15 says, "So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." These things are the things that God wants of His children. Blameless, innocent, children of God, above reproach. They pursue peace and sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. So those who do not pursue holiness and sanctification, they can't have communication with the Holy Spirit. They can't listen. They can't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So suppose they are leaders, district leaders. They are visiting some family. They don't have any words to give to them. And they have to study. Oh, I will deliver this message. But the family doesn't want that kind of message. And if they want to, hear that kind of message, they can just listen. My message is on GCN or on the internet. Because they can't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. They don't know what kind of message to give to that family. If they hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, they will have the reading passage and the title. And when you deliver the message, they will come to repentance. And the problems will be resolved. But because they don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, this is some serious problem. That's why you have to go into Spirit and you have to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You cannot have visitations without being able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. After the opening of the church, when I visited any member, I didn't have to visit any member twice. Even the leaders, I never visited two times. All the problems were solved just by one visit. I've never visited any family twice. Is there any case where I visited two times? As far as I remember, there's none. Just by one visit, the problem goes away. A minister who has received the Spirit of Truth, which is of God, will teach the flock to cast away sins and to live a holy life. He will always preach such words as, God's children must not be stained by the lust of the world. You must never bow down before idols. You have to cast away the adulterous mind, anger, greed, and hatred. You have to be holy and pure. Always. You know, always, even always is not enough. The disciples, the prophets, the Lord always preached this kind of messages. Right from the beginning of the Bible, right from the Genesis. Because of envy and jealousy, there was murder, and even up to the end of the book of Revelation, it preaches about sins and holiness. Also, those believers who receive the works of the Holy Spirit will feel the rejoicing of the Holy Spirit in them when they hear such words and practice them. But some people argue for what is completely the opposite to the will of God. How can man become holy? God told people to keep the commandments only for the Old Testament. In the New Testament era, we can just have the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Also, if they see a believer who is in a struggle or under persecution trying to keep his faith, they tell him just to compromise to some extent. Do you have to keep the Lord's Day to that extreme? You can open your shop after attending the church service. You already attended the worship service, and you can enjoy yourself the rest of the day. Or they justify themselves for their compromising, saying, you can just believe in God in your heart. Why do you have to cause a conflict in the family by not bowing down in the ancestral worship? You can preach to them only when you have peace with them by doing what they want you to do, which is nonsense. They justify themselves. It means they are receiving the work of Satan. Because of the time, I will have to stop here. I can't, it's just a little bit, but I still have to stop now. I pray for the sick. Father God, lay your hands on those who are sick. Fill them. Give them the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Heal them from head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and cleanse them. Pastor Sungil Ryu of Japan will have a handkerchief crusade in Idamami Church on December 26th. Bless them. Pastor Gyeongtae Jung of Japan will have a Christmas celebration on December 24th in the Tabata Mami Church. Let them give glory to God. Watanabe Yumi, she wants to be selected for the rental residence on December 25th. Pastor Grace Haechun Lee of Nepal will have the Christmas celebration on December 25th in Nepal Mamin Missionary Center. Bless them. To Rung Ping fibroid be healed. 도루방, mental disease go away. Darkness, evil spirits go away. 루고와이, Lord, body paralysis be healed. 주저징, epilepsy go away. Be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. 왕호, let him get out of illegal multi-level business. Father, also there are subscribers of InVictory and viewers of TV in Russia. Father, answer to their prayers. Light come and give them spiritual and physical health. Let their families be evangelized. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Father, also protect all the church members throughout this week. Give them spiritual and physical health and blessing. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.